It's great to see you, church. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here this morning. I do want to say welcome to those, as was mentioned earlier, that may be visiting with us. We're also thankful that we have our members here today. Also, it's great to have Miss Glenda Wilkes here today. She had spent some time in the hospital recently, but she's had a tough go, but we're thankful she's able to be here today. She's always an encouragement when I can see her sweet face. I was not able to make the Azalea City Christian School fish fry yesterday myself, and I know some others may not have been as well, so they have gone to get those meals and have them ready for you if you would like to purchase those. I will say, if you're visiting with us today, you can have one. Somebody's already purchased yours, so make sure you get you a fish meal before you leave if you're a visitor today. I appreciate all of you. In a little bit, we're going to have an invitation song. And that invitation song will allow us to do what Steve has been singing. It will allow us to draw nearer to God. You see, today we're going to conclude a lesson, a series, just a two-part series of lessons on drawing nearer to God. Why are we doing that? Well, first of all, it's a biblical point, and we're always going to try to preach Bible truths around here. Do not take my word for it. As Brother Virgil mentioned earlier, always check in the Scriptures and make sure that what we're teaching is the truth. But along the way, I do want to tell you that another reason I think that we should be talking about drawing near to God is because He wants to draw near to us. He desires a relationship with us. God desires to be one with us. Jesus prayed for that unity in John 17. This year our theme at Azalea City is more. We want to do more. We want to be more. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the ways that the doors are opening up, because I don't want it to look like it's about me, it's about God. But Justin and I, we told you early on in the year that we wanted to do more in our community. Well, you will not believe how God has opened those doors. There are a lot of ways and a lot of things on the horizon that God has opened up because we had a desire to do more, and we said, here we are, God, use us. You will not believe how He's willing to open those doors. If you will pray those prayers and have that desire, He'll open it for you. But we can't do that if we're not near to Him, if we're not in a relationship with Him. And let me tell you about that relationship. That relationship desire is so strong that even though we fouled it up, starting in Eden all the way to 2018, we have fouled it up. We just messed it all up. God laid out this plan and we completely ruined it. But He loves us so much and He desires it so much that He sent Jesus to this earth to make us whole again. And through Jesus Christ, His blood that was shed on the cross, His victory over the grave, today you and I can go behind these walls by going through some stairs. We can go down into some water and God will contact us with that blood that purchased our salvation. That blood that brings us whole into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Once we go into that blood and we go into that water and we come up born again, we're going to be as near to God as we've ever been. But guess who's going to get in the way? The devil. The devil slithered his way into the life of the family, and he slithers his way into our lives each and every day. Or at least he tries to. But today, we're going to learn some things. That the nearer we are to God, the harder it is for the devil to slither his way into our lives. So today, we're going to conclude this lesson. We're going to talk about James chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and turn to James 4. But before we do that, Dallas did a great job reading to us from Jeremiah 29. I love that those two verses, really that whole section of Scripture there. I apologize, my voice is a little weaker today than normal. But anyhow, in Jeremiah 29, verse 14 especially, God promised us, if anyone seeks me with all his heart, I will be found by him. Isn't that a great verse? If everybody here will desire with all their heart to seek God, guess what? He's going to be there for us. We're going to find him. We're going to be one with him. We're going to walk with him. We're going to live with him for all eternity. James 4 verse 8 reminds us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, we want to be close to God. We want to draw close to him. But we need to come up with some things, and James did that for us practically, that we can understand that we need to do in order to obtain that closeness. And so today, as we study together, we learn from Moses a couple weeks ago, remember, that Moses wandered his way leading those sheep to the mountain of God, and there God told him, hey, here's some things you need to do. Well, James, today, here we are, sheep, wandered into this building to worship our God. What can we do today to draw near to God? The first thing we need to do is going to come from verses 7 and 8 in James chapter 4, and that is simply this. We need to be clean. If we're going to be near God, we need to clean up. So let's look at it. James 4, 7 and 8. Therefore, let me back up to 6 first of all. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we are going to be able to draw near to God today, the first thing we've got to do is resist the devil. I know that's simple, but I'm a simple-minded person. If God told me this is the way you need to do it, then I need to listen to that way. It's as simple as that. He said, you want to be near to God? Then resist the devil. Why do we need to resist the devil? Well, there are three things I want you to know about the devil today quickly. First of all, he's dirty. He's disgusting. And he's distrustful. The devil's dirty. Sin is dirty. You know, anybody that is a Christian or has been raised in a Christian home and understands moral values, when somebody sins or somebody walks this aisle, they don't usually come up here with just, hey, I'm so excited, I'm a sinner, I feel so good about this, do they? No, they come forward, there are a lot of times there are tears in their eyes, they're brokenhearted, they're hurting. Why? Because they feel dirty today. They've broken God's heart today. And that is something that's what sin is. You know, sin is that beautiful picture, that beautiful present that when you picture in your head, you've got this present and it's wrapped so beautiful and it looks so beautiful, but we open that present up and it's full of deadly poison. It's full of deadly snakes. Whatever is vile to you, that's what it is. Well, that's what Satan is. He's dirty. And we need to get him out of our lives. You know, one of my favorite scenes in a movie, and I've said this numerous times, in the movie Fireproof. It's a movie about a firefighter who's got an addiction to pornography, and it's causing problems in his marriage, and he and his wife almost divorce, and ultimately in the end they stay together, and they fireproof their marriage, okay? But there's a scene in the movie when he takes his computer outside, and he takes a bat, and he bashes the computer. Why? Because that's what was his struggle. He needed to resist the devil because he was feeling dirty. The devil is also disgusting. when you see a scene that's unpleasant and you think, oh, that's disgusting. I don't know why. Oh, wow. Thank you. The courtesy of your mom. Thanks, son. I'm not sick. Do not feel sorry for me. I just have sinus junk, I guess. But, so if I've shaken your hand, please do not fret. Okay? I feel 100% fine. Sometimes on Facebook, and by the way, if you're one of these people, let me kindly ask you, please do not share it with me. Not that you are, but sometimes there'll be something disgusting that is shown, and people just got to show that on Facebook or something. I'm like, ah, oh, why did I see that? And when I mean disgusting, it may be just bloody or gross or just something. Yeah, I don't want to see it. So a lot of times, if that's the case, I'll just block that person for a little while or something. And I've got a bunch of kids that I taught over the years. They share nasty stuff on there. Here's what I'm trying to say. When you see a scene like that, and some of you know what I'm talking about if you've seen that on the internet, you just want to get that out of your head, right? Well, that's how I want you to see Satan today. I want you to see him as disgusting as he is. He is not a cute little character with red little ears and a pitchfork. He is coming to devour you. Now this is about, okay, I just told you don't do it, now I'm going to give you a mental image. You ever seen a lion rip the throat out of a gazelle? I've never seen it personally, but I've seen it in pictures. That is Satan coming for your soul. That same mangled look with that mane, with the blood-soaked mane, devouring that poor innocent gazelle, that is Satan. That's why we got to resist him. He's dangerous. He is strong, but if we will resist him, he will go away. That is a promise. He's dirty, he's disgusting, and he is distrustful. Listen, he told Eve in the Garden of Eden, basically, you can trust me. You won't die. Well, Adam lived 930 years, but eventually, guess what? He died. Okay, he did. So the devil tried to make them trust him. But he is very distrustful. All the promises he's going to make you, they're all lies. They're all lies that we need to get rid of. We cannot be close to God with allowing Satan in our back seat. There's something else we need to know about this. He told us to be clean. Cleanse your hands. All right, think about this. If you were going to go visit someone, what are you going to do? You're going to clean yourself up. You're going to shower. You're going to put on nice clothes. You're going to go see this person that you love and you care for, and you're going to be clean. Or what if somebody's coming to your home? You know, you're going to invite somebody to your home. We're inviting the Roadrunners to our home on May the 20th. Well, we're not going to leave our home the way it is maybe all the time. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. During school years when everything's crazy and everything's everywhere, right? We're going to make an extra effort to clean up. Why? We want you in our home. We want it to look nice. Well, let me ask you this. Are we doing our hearts that way for God? Are we cleaning them up? Are we getting rid of the dirty? Are we getting rid of the disgusting? Are we getting rid of the distrustful? Are we getting rid of the sin? So that we can make room for God. It's a question we need to ask ourselves. It's a question we need to be honest about. How do we draw near to God? The first thing we do, we get clean. Jesus Christ made it easy. He did the hard part, folks. He did the hard part. Our part is real easy. Secondly, though, we need to be humble. I know that makes sense because we've heard it, but sometimes humble is a little harder to understand than we make it out to be. James 4:5-6, or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What is He talking about there? Well, let me try to explain it this way. Sin is selfish. Sin is selfish. Why is sin selfish? Because it is our own desires. You realize that? I know that God wired us and He formed us and all that, but He also created us to be people of choice. And so the devil understands that too. And so he takes advantage of the choice making ability that we have. And so he slithers his dirty, disgusting, distrustful self into our lives. And so as he slithers into our lives, just like he did Adam and Eve, he does not tempt us with things that we're strong against. He knows that. He tempts us with things that we desire. James also says we are drawn away. I like the version, we're lured away by our own lusts, our own desires. It's like casting a lure after a fish. Eventually, you're going to cast the right lure, the right bait, that's got the hooks, and we're going to jump on it. That's the way the devil does. He might throw something at you today that you struggle with that I don't struggle with, but he may throw something at me today that I struggle with that you don't struggle with. When we look at it that way, and we're like, okay, I'm going to jump on this. You know what we did? We made a selfish decision, a prideful decision. We made ourselves Lord, at least for a moment. You see, that's the way sin works. That's why He says He gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. Because sin originated with the devil. With pride. He had that power, He had that authority, and He decided that He was going to rise to the throne. No, sir. You're not. You can no longer be in heaven with God. And so He cast him out. He goes to Adam and Eve, technically Eve first in the garden, and He says, God doesn't want you to be like Him, to be smart like Him, to be as knowledgeable as Him. Guess what that did? Eve said, hey, well, I want to be like that. How dare God do me that way? That affects my pride. That affects my heart. Give me that fruit and I'm going to eat it so I can be like God. No, you're not. You should have listened to Him. Right? That's the way it works with us. Sin is full of pride. Every sin we commit, we can trace back to selfishness. That's why if we want God to be near to us, we've got to get the Terry in my life out and get the Jesus Christ in. I've said it hundreds of times, and I hope to be your preacher a long time. So I'm going to say it for a long time. When I went down into this water, and I went down into that water right there, by the way. When I went down into this water, and I came up, I submitted my life to Jesus. I killed Terry, and I let Jesus in. It's no longer about me, it's about Him. And today, if it's about you, and if it's about me, then we're not near God. Simple as that. Philippians 2, that description is as beautiful as we can say. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, folks. He was God in human form, okay? The only one who could have built a temple of holiness. And He could have had a throne. And He could have sat in that throne. And we could have one by one come up and bowed down at His feet. And it'd be okay. Why? He is God. Jesus could have had a temple that would have made Solomon's look like some dirty shack. And he could have had a throne room that our eyes could not even behold. And he could have sat on that throne and we could have come and worshiped him in man form because he was God. But here's what Paul said. He made himself of no reputation. He didn't come in chariots. He didn't come and sit on a throne. He came and washed feet. He came and healed the sick. He came and went to the poor. He came and got his hands dirty. He came and he went to the cross so that we can be near to God. If God in the flesh was humble, we better be humble. James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. But finally this morning, how can I conclude what James says? You see, if I am dirty, I can't be near God. I'm talking about spiritually dirty, you know that. If I am spiritually dirty, I cannot be near God. If I'm spiritually proud and selfish, I can't be near God. But there's another way I can stay away from God. And it's one that you might not think about. So the third point I want you to see today is this. If I'm going to be near God, then I need to behave. What do you mean by that, preacher? Look at verses 11 and 12 of James 4. This is one that kind of gets overlooked sometimes in all this. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? James reminds us that we can't be close to God if we're distant from God's family. You see, sometimes people obey the gospel. They submit their lives to Jesus Christ. They're immersed in water for the remission of their sins. They come up out of the water and they're excited. And then all of a sudden, something doesn't go their way and they get mad. They get mad at a brother. They get mad at a sister. I mean, that's human. I mean, brothers and sisters that in our families get mad at one another too, right? But the difference is, they don't get together and work it out. They just stay mad. And they have a problem. And I might come here and sit on this pew, but I'm mad at that person over there. Or I'm mad at those elders. Or I'm mad at that preacher. Or I'm mad at that youth minister. Or I'm mad at that one-to-one. I'm mad at that song. You know, fill in the blank, right? I need to say something real plain. Because I'm going to tell you right now, things are good at Isaiah City. Things are really good. I mean, we have had some great families come our way. There are great things happening in our groups. Last week, do you realize, Roadrunners were in a part of, was it last week or the week before? Whatever way, Sunday it was. Roadrunners were at Camellia Bowling Lanes, and Free Birds were there, and man, we had about eight lanes together, it seemed like. Great things. People are bonding and loving each other and knowing each other. Beautiful things happening. So don't let anybody tell you that bad things are happening, and I'm not telling you either, but we got to be on guard. Because here's how it can happen. Somebody can get upset, throw a fit, get on Facebook, get on whatever social media platform, and get upset. Well, let me say this. If that is me, then I need to understand I'm not near God. Oh no, I'm near God, Terry. I'm praying, I'm singing, I'm here, but I can't stand so and so. Uh-uh. You're not near God. Because that's not the way God would handle it. That's not the way Christ taught it. You see, Christ taught it that we've got to go to one another in love and work those things out. Let me say it this way. If you've got a problem with me, now that line may be long, I don't know. But if you do, and this has not happened, I want you to know this, I am not saying, I'm just using me as an example. Then you have no reason to go to the elders. Oh yes, I do, they're your boss. Well, that ain't what it said in Matthew 18. I mean, teenagers, we go down the list. It doesn't have to be, it's not, by the way, this is not a sermon about me. I promise you, it's not one of those personal vendetta sermons. This is just reality. I want everybody to get along. God wants everybody to live in harmony. As much as depends on you, live at peace with all people. If I haven't, if I've let a grudge enter my life, folks, I need to say this plain, grudges do not make it to heaven. I need to let them go. So that's why I titled this Behave. I need to do it the way God wants it done. The devil is going to try anything in his power. He's going to try anything in his power to mess up a good thing. Do you know that? Paradise was a good thing. And he did everything in his power to mess it up. But if we resist him, guess what? He will flee. And today, when we lock arm in arm together and we stand on the truth of the Word of God and we do everything we can, saturated, galvanized in love, then we can flee like the game Red Rover. Red Rover, Red Rover sends Satan right over because he's not getting in these walls. He's not getting in our heart. And when we leave out of here, we are nearer, still nearer to God Almighty. I want to close, though, with Luke 15. It's a story of our lives, in my opinion. It's the prodigal son. The prodigal son starts out selfish, like we talked about today. He starts out wanting his. Give me mine. Well, the father let him have it. You see, God, we're freedom of choice, right? He let him have it. And he went and he wasted it on worldly living. And so he was so miserable and so desperate, he got in a pig's pen and wanted to eat their slop. But he came to himself. And he wanted to go home and just be a servant. And you remember that scene of the father's unconditional love? Waiting on him, longing for him to come home. Didn't ask questions. The son had a forgiveness speech worked out. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Please just make me one of your hired servants. But he didn't want to hear any of it. He just wanted him home. Today, that's James 4. Get the pride out. Let's be humble. Sometimes we get in a pig pen, that's when we realize. But then we're also dirty. We got to get the sin out. We got to get clean. But we got to remember that love. We got to behave. Remember the older brother in that story? He had a bad attitude. We can't be that way. Today, are you near to God? Are you struggling with some of the things we talked about and you're far away? Here's the beauty of it. It can all be made right now as together we stand and sing.